सहनावतु सहनौभुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं। विल डू द एंटायर गीता ध्यान। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधिता भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिना महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायनी त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी। नमोस्तु ते व्यासविशालबुद्धे फुल्लारविन्दायतपत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्णः प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीपः प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकपानये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय मृतदुहे नमः। सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दोक्ता गोपालनन्दनः पार्थो वत्स सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं। भीष्मद्रोणतटा जयद्रथजला गान्धारनीलोत्पला शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनि कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामविकर्णघोरमकरा योधनावर्तिनी सोतीर्ण खलु पाण्डवैरननदी कैवर्तककेशवः पाराशर्यवचः सरोजममलं गन्धोत्कटं नानाख्यानकेसरं हरिकथा सम्बोधनाबोधितं लोके सज्जनषट्पदैर्हरः पेपीयमानं मुदा भूयाद्भारतपङ्कजं कलिमल प्रध्वंसिनं श्रेयसे मूकं करोति वाचालम् पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवै तैस्साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगा ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनौ यस्यां न विदुत्सुरासुरगणा देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः। हरि ओम्। So we are doing this Gita Dhyanam. It's a very, very beautiful 9 verses. Each verse is a gem of poetic beauty, and very beautiful similes and very beautiful metaphors are given, and it is basically a homage written by Sri Madhusudan Saraswati, the great Rishi, to Mother Gita, to Ved Vyasji, who was the author of the Mahabharata, and of course Lord Sri Krishna, who gave us the message of the Bhagavad Gita. That's why it's called Gita Dhyanam. It is an invocation or a meditation on Mother Gita. So the first five verses we had done, where we had offered our homage to Mother Gita as the first one, then to Ved Vyasji, and then to Krishna, the next three verses. Now the sixth verse, it tells us how the Lord removed every problem, because Arjuna, the problems he had, compared to, you know, when we go through life, we have problems, but his problem was so vast, so huge, because he had to face an army which was much larger. The Kaurava army was much larger. They were great archers, they were great warriors. Each one of them was impossible to defeat. Even though Arjuna was great, but they would have been impossible. So only it is with the Lord's help that he was able to do it. So here the metaphor they use is of a river. So the Mahabharata river. So we can chant the sixth verse together. Bhishma Drona Tata Jayadrath Jala Gandhara Nilotpala Shalya Grahavati Kripena Vahani Karanena Vela Kula Ashwatthama Vikarna Ghora Makara Duryodhana Vartini Nakhalu Pandavairana Nadi Kaivartaka Keshavaha. So the last line, Sotirna. So this river was crossed. Indeed was crossed by who? By the Pandavas. And what is the river? The river is the river of battle. Because the army that he had to fight was so powerful, like a river in full, you know, full stream. When it is full, how powerful it goes. That's how powerful it was. And he had to cross it. And who helped him? Kaivartaka Keshava. So Keshava, Krishna was his boatman who took him across. Now let us see what is this river of the Mahabharata river. So it is said that the river, as we know, has certain parts. So it is says Bhishma, Drona, Tata. Bhishma and Drona were the two banks. As we know, the banks of the river guide the river, right? The river generally will not overflow the banks, and the banks are the ones that decide the direction of the flow. So Bhishma and Drona were the two greatest warriors who were impossible to defeat. Bhishma had Ichha Mrityu. That means he could decide when he wants to die. Nobody could kill him. When he decided it is time for me to leave, he would leave. Otherwise, he could keep on living forever. That's the boon he was given. So he had Ichha Mrityu, Bhishma. And Drona was such a great warrior. He was the guru of the Pandavas and the Kauravas. So he had taught them everything. So he was, and he had tremendous ability. So to defeat Bhishma and Drona would have been impossible for the entire army of the Pandavas, let alone Arjuna. So those were the banks. And what was the water? Jayadratha Jala. So the river has water. So Jayadrath was the water. Why was he the water? Because the water, first of all, is the flow, is the main power, you know, of the river. And also the water coordinates, it connects the two banks. So the one bank and the other bank. So Jayadratha was the commander of the Kaurava army. And he was a good coordinator between Bhishma and Drona, because those were the two leaders and they both needed to be kept balance, so he was very good. Now Jayadrath, actually each one of them has a unique story. Bhishma has a long story, and Dronacharya, I don't want to go into all the stories because it will get too long, but Jayadratha's story is very interesting. He was a great warrior, and his father had done so much penance, and when the Lord appeared and said, what would you like? He said, my son should be made immortal. You know, he could have asked for anything. You know, he could have asked for God. He could have asked for love for God. Out of attachment, he said, my son should never die. So God said, look, that I can't grant. Whoever is born has to die. So he asked for something else. He said, okay, I want this boon that whoever causes my son's head to fall on the ground, his head should be split in 1,000 pieces. So anybody who kills my son, his head will be broken into 1,000 pieces. So Lord said, Tathastu, okay, I have to give you something because you have done all this penance. So now Jayadratha was a very evil warrior, and he had treacherously had killed Arjuna's son Abhimanyu. You know all that story. Abhimanyu was a great warrior, and Jayadratha treacherously participated in the killing. He was the main person. And so Arjuna said that I'm going to kill him by tomorrow evening. Now the thing was, if Arjuna causes his head to fall to the ground, Arjuna will die. So Krishna, knowing that, he knew, because of course he is the Lord, so he knew, just as this virus we have, this mal virus which is circulating throughout the world, to eliminate it you need very powerful antiviruses. So similarly, there were many viruses in the Kaurava army. So Krishna knew how each virus needs to be eliminated, because each virus has to have a specific antivirus. So how was Jayadratha eliminated? Arjuna first, of course, shot an arrow and cut off his head. Now the head was going to fall on the ground. So Krishna told him about this boon. So Arjuna shot a second arrow, and that arrow carried the head safely, softly, where the father was meditating. And in his lap, the head went and fell softly, where he didn't even know that he was in deep meditation. And so the head fell in his father's lap. And when the father woke up from meditation and stood up, the head fell to the ground. And so his head was split in thousands. So the boon was honored. But he said, whoever causes that. So that is how the Lord does that. He has his unique way. So Jayadratha was the water. Gandhar Nilotpala. Nilotpala is a water lily. Also means a blue rock. So there are two meanings. So I think the blue rock applies better here. So who was Gandhar? Gandhar was Shakuni. Shakuni was the uncle of the Kauravas. He was the mama. And he was Gandhari's brother. And as you know, Gandhari married Dhritarashtra, who was blind. So there are a lot of interesting stories. Now, why did she marry him? Because Hastinapur was such a powerful kingdom. They sent a proposal that we would like our son Dhritarashtra to marry your daughter Gandhari because she was very pretty. Now, they couldn't refuse, because from a powerful kingdom, if a proposal is coming, they dare not refuse because they will be insulted and the kingdom will be taken over. So they sent the daughter to marry this blind king. And in those days, they didn't have facilities for blind people like they have now. So blind person was virtually useless. So he was blind. So even she, out of love for her husband, made herself blind. She put a thick blindfold, and for the rest of her life, she never saw anything, out of Pativrata devotion. So Shakuni was very angry, Gandhar. He was very angry that my sister was forced to marry a blind person and she became blind. So he decided, it is my mission to destroy the Kuru dynasty. And so he was responsible for creating the war, all his evil deeds and all his cunning, things. So he created the war. I mean, of course, there were many factors, but he was one of the important factors, because he said, I'm going to destroy this dynasty because they forced my sister to get married. So a blue rock is a rock covered with moss, right? That's when a rock becomes greenish blue, when it's covered with moss. Now, if you step on a rock with moss, it's very slippery. You will fall. You can't. Secondly, the rock is so strong that if a boat hits it, it will break. So he was the rock who was so slippery and treacherous. He was so dishonest that you didn't know where he was going to go. Plus, he was the rock that if the Pandava's boat had hit it, it would have been destroyed. So Gandhara Nilotpala, Shalya Graha. Shalya was the shark. Now, Shalya is another interesting story. I'll make it in short. But Shalya was the Pandava's uncle. So he was supposed to fight on the Pandava side, right? He was Madri's brother. Kunti and Madri were the two sisters. So he was coming with his entire army to join the Pandava forces. So what Duryodhana did, he was so crooked that he put tents along the way and he told his people, said to Shalya, "Sir, these are for you. You can stay here." So he was going to take 3-4 days. So he put tents, he put food for them, place to sleep, place food for the horses. Everything was taken care of. So he thought my nephews, Pandavas, have arranged for me because I'm bringing the army. And so every night, 2 or 3 nights, he's well fed and dined and taken care of and, you know, everything. So the 4th day when he reaches, he asks, "Who made these arrangements?" So Duryodhan said, "I did." So in those days, a Kshatriya, Namakhaya, you know, once you have taken somebody's hospitality, you are bound to help them. So even though he was the Pandava's uncle, he joined the Kaurava side because of Duryodhana's treachery. So he was the Graha, he was the shark. He was so powerful, great warrior, but unfortunately, he switched his side to the wrong side. Kripacharya was another great warrior who was also a guru of the Pandavas and the Kauravas. Drona was the main guru, Kripacharya. So he is the current, he is the water, the current, the flow of water. And Karna of course was as good a warrior as Arjuna, or probably better, Arjuna's older brother. But he also was in the Kaurava side, and he was the high waves, the breakers. So in the water, there is a current and then there is the high waves. So that was Karna. So those were all difficult to cross. And Ashwatthama was himself a great warrior, the son of Drona. And Vikarna was Duryodhana's brother. And Ashwatthama actually treacherously killed a lot of Pandavas after the war was ended and people were sleeping at night and, you know, the peace had been declared. He went through the tents and he killed Draupadi's 5 children and a lot of... So he was also defeated. Vikarna was Duryodhana's brother. Ghora Makara, they are like crocodiles. You know, they were so bad. And Duryodhana is the whirlpool. See, in the water, there's a current, there are high waves, there's whirlpools, there's rocks. You know, there's the water, the current, there's sharks, there's crocodiles. So he was the whirlpool. What does the whirlpool do? It catches you in its chakkar mein dal deta. It puts you in the circle and you can't get out. So Duryodhana was so powerful that he also could not have been defeated unless Krishna had given Bhima the right advice what to do. So also Duryodhana, Durha Yodhum Ati Duryodhana, one who cannot be defeated in battle, that was his name, Duryodhana. And Duryodhana was the last one to go, last one to fall in the battle. Once Duryodhana lost, then the Kauravas declared, you know, that we have lost, and they surrender to the Pandavas. So what it means is Duryodhana is like our ego, which, you know, is like a whirlpool. We get caught in it because the ego, because I did it, I am so great. And that ego is the one that gets us caught. There are 2 kinds of ego. One is the ego of our material. You know, I'm very beautiful. I'm very smart. I'm, you know, very powerful. I'm very rich. I have a big house. I have a big car. I have more jewelry. I have, my children are smarter than, you know, I have this property. So those are the gross egos. And that is relatively, is difficult, but easier to give up. We say, okay, Lord, you have given me everything. And so with that attitude, when you work in the world, but then there is a subtle ego. What happens is that as we progress spiritually, and oh, I'm going to the temple, you know, so many days a week, and I'm studying the Gita, and I know so much, and I'm giving talks, and I, you know, I'm teaching others, and I am meditating 1 hour, I'm praying. So what happens is a subtle ego arises. You know, I'm better than this person. The person won't say it. You know, he'll say, oh, everything is the Lord's grace. But inside, there is a little ego that I am better than this, holier than thou, you know. And that ego is very difficult to give up. And you have to be very watchful because other egos, you know, is still easier. But this ego that I am closer to God than her, or I am more devoted than her, or I am a better devotee than her. So that's why it says that ego is the last to fall. So that ego is the one that we have to be very watchful. It's just better is to be thankful. Oh Lord, it is because of you I have the Bhagavad Gita. Because of you we have Swami Chinmayananda who has taught us this knowledge. And it is your grace that even we are sitting together and discussing this beautiful scripture. I mean, I feel so blessed, to have this opportunity. So constantly remembering the Lord and say, thank you, Lord, for giving me this opportunity. Thank you for giving me the knowledge to meditate, giving me the ability to, if I do some charity, if I do some service, Lord, it is your grace. So constantly remembering the Lord and say everything I do. So that's what it says. There should be no I, no ego. So just as Arjuna could cross this river, why? The boat was provided by Krishna. Krishna was his boatman. As you know, Krishna was his charioteer too. So that's why he says, Kaivartaka Keshavaha. So remembering Arjuna, Krishna, one can accomplish anything in this world. All our successes are due to the Lord. There is not much time. I can tell one more story because I don't think we have time to do the next verse. So talking about this ego, I told this story last year sometime, but it's worth repeating. So at the end of the war, when the battle had been won and Arjuna was the main warrior, of course, all of them had contributed. Bhima had done, Nakul, Sahadev, Yudhishthir, all their other, Bhima's son, Ghatotkach, a lot of people had contributed to the Pandavas' victory. But Arjuna was the main warrior. He was the main commander. If he had not fought, the Pandavas would have never won. So that's why Krishna wanted Arjuna to continue. That's why he gave him the whole message of the Bhagavad Gita. So it happened the last day, the battle was over and, it was the end, it was evening time. And so Krishna took Arjuna's chariot to the tent. And, and now the battle was over, everything was quiet, everything was peaceful. See, every day Arjuna, because he was so enthusiastic in the battle, he would jump off the chariot as soon as the chariot came to the tent and go to his tent. Now, 18th day, this day he says, I won the battle. And so he sat there. And what he's waiting for? For Krishna to open the door. Because the chauffeur, what is he supposed to do? He's supposed to get down and open the door for the master. As we always see, if you have a chauffeur, if you have ever, in a limousine or something. So he got a little egoistic. I won the battle. And Krishna is my charioteer. So he should come and open the door for me. To get me off, and then I will come down. So he was waiting there. So Krishna knew what he's thinking. So Krishna says, get down, Arjun. So Arjun didn't get down. Why? I am the boss. Who is he to tell me to get down? My chauffeur is telling me to get down. So he kept on sitting. So he said, get down, Arjuna. Still won't listen. He said, get down, Arjuna. He shouts at him as loud as he can. Arjuna gets scared, he slowly, very reluctantly opens the door. He's very angry, because I am being made to get down. So he opens the door, gets down, and he just walking away. So after he steps off, Krishna steps off the chariot, and the whole chariot catches on fire. Because the chariot, so Arjuna said, what happened? How did this catch on fire? Krishna says, your chariot has been hit by thousands of missiles and bombs and weapons. And, they had all these arrows which could, explode. And he says, all of these have been maintained by my yogic power. Because I was your charioteer. That's why this chariot has been maintained. And that's why every day when you get off, then I get off. But if I had got off the chariot, you would have been burnt to ashes. So the point is of this whole message of this whole shloka is that whenever we accomplish anything you're successful at, if you're good at anything, maybe you're a good cook or you're a good mother, your children are doing very well, or you're very successful in your work or your business or teacher, you're teaching. So whatever I am doing, wherever I'm doing, if I'm doing a good job, if somebody praises you, you did a very good job, this is good or that, Krishnarpanamastu. I just dedicated to the Lord. It is because of you that I have been able to do that. So that is the message of this particular verse. Actually, there's a lot more stories I could have told, but I thought we'll just do this in half an hour. And if we have a couple of minutes, anybody has any questions, any comments?
In this verse, they are expressing more of the Kauravas and not explaining how powerful the Pandavas were. I get it. The
yes,
Kauravas have
yes.
a lot more soldiers, a lot more manpower and everything, but we don't see anywhere in the dhyana how powerful
right.
the Pandavas are. Right?
Yeah, they were, but they were not as powerful as
yeah.
Kauravas. If they did not have, of course, they had, they had Arjuna, they had Bhima.
Krishna
was the main thing. Then they had Drishtadyumna, who had actually taken birth to destroy Drona. And then they had Shikhandi, who had taken birth to destroy Bhima. So there were warriors. It's not that. But it does come during the actual battle. But here, Gita Dhyanam is mostly to honor Krishna and Vyasa and Mother Gita, that how Krishna, how important he is in our life.
No, but what I'm saying is in this verse,
yes.
it's more concentrated on the Kauravas.
True,
right?
True.
So you kind of get distracted. But then Vyasa, when he was chanting, how come he did not praise Pandavas?
Yeah, no, this was by Madhusudan Saraswati. Well, he composed it at that time. I think mostly to just show the importance of Krishna. And there's actually a story of Krishna, of how Krishna came to the Pandavas. Have you heard that story with Duryodhana?
Yeah.
Some of you have heard, but if you haven't, we have a minute. So it is said that Krishna was one time sleeping and it was morning time. And as it so happened, the Pandavas and the Kauravas used to go to different kings and ask them to be on their side. And so they both showed up in Krishna's tent, in his Krishna's house. And Krishna had, it was early morning, he was just waking up. And so Duryodhana came first and he sat at Krishna's head, next to his head. He told the servant, bring me a chair. And so he sat. Now Arjuna came later, so he had no ego. So he just sat at Krishna's feet on his bed. And, Krishna, you are. So when Krishna woke up, he saw Arjuna first because Arjuna was at his feet. Duryodhana was on one side. So he said, oh, why are you here? So Duryodhana said, I came first. Okay, why are you here? So he said, we want you to help us. So Krishna said, look, I cannot help both of you. Both of you came. I can do this. Either I can be on your side, or you can have my entire army. He had a very powerful army, 11 regiments, 11 Akshoni. And my entire army you can have. If I'm on your side, I won't pick any weapons. I promise I won't pick any weapons. So do you want me or do you want my entire army? So Duryodhan said, why am I going to take Krishna without any weapons? He's useless. Let me get the army. He said, I pick the army. Arjuna said, I pick Krishna any day. So the point is that throughout our life, we are faced with this choice, God or the world, God or the world. And we always pick the world. I want this. And so we put God last. So they say when it comes to choosing, pick him. Like Abhi and Arjuna, it doesn't matter. The rest of the world can go, whatever. As long as God I have with you, with me, I can. And so that is the message, the difference between Duryodhana, who picked the world, and so once you have God, then nothing can touch you. And so that's what he says. It makes you fearless. That's why one of Shiva's name is Abhayav Pradam, one who grants us fearlessness. So having the God on our side makes us fearless and nothing can touch you. And even if once you have realized the truth that God and I are one, God is with me at all times, and Om, the consciousness, it is in me and that is my true nature, then even the body, even if it perishes, so what? Everybody has to die. So why do we have to be afraid of death? It's like a prolonged sleep. Just as you go to sleep at night, are you afraid? No. You wake up in the morning. So death is a prolonged sleep. You'll go to sleep, you'll wake up again in a new body, brand new, cute little body. And you'll come out of your mother's, womb and, start your life again. So death is not to be afraid of. So that is the message. So thank you. We'll end here and we'll go to the hall and do the puja. Yes. Yes.
So you, what's the difference between the subtle ego and the sattvic, rajasic and tamasic? Does it belong to any one of these?
No, sattvic, rajasic and tamasic are the three gunas under which we function throughout the day. See, there can be a tamasic ego is one that is, you know, that is laziness. You know, say a person is, you know, like a gambler or a drug dealer or a crook. So he has an ego too. I'm a successful crook. But that is a tamasic ego. You know, that if for somebody who is a drug dealer, who is like the number one, like El Chapo, I'm the number one, you know, dealer of narcotics in whole America. That is also an ego, but that is tamasic. Rajasic ego is the ego that I am very rich, I'm very powerful, I'm very successful, I have a big business and I have a big house. That is rajasic. Sattvic ego can be that I am more spiritual than anybody else, like you said. So all three are bad. But of course, tamasic is the worst and then rajasic. But so that's why one has to be at all levels, make sure that the ego doesn't arise. So that is the sattvic ego. That comes in the 14th and the 17th chapter. Krishna will tell us about those also. So that is the sattvic. So there is the gross ego and then the subtle ego. Does that answer your question?
More curious about the subtle ego that you told about.
Yes.
So is this a
sattvic
ego?
Yeah, it is an ego because you have done sattvic activities. Yes, but it is still an ego. It still needs to be dropped. Even that has to be dropped. That I am more spiritual than her. That also is an ego, and that has to be dropped. Ultimately, we are all one, and God alone is everything. So only when that happens, then even that idea that I am more spiritual than anybody else, because I goes away. See, that I has to go away. He alone or she alone, whatever the god or goddess you worship, so that has to be. So that alone is, and I am nobody. By myself I am nothing. That one line, if you remember, by myself I am nothing, that's all we need. By myself I am nothing, everything is that, and whatever I have is that. So one has to constantly remind oneself and constantly. There's another beautiful verse, Mukam Karoti Vachalam. I'll be talking about that. Now there won't be any more Gita class till the first Sunday in June. But we will be this year working through the summer. And even if there are 15, like this many people coming, you know, I will continue the class. And sometime one Sunday you are here, one Sunday you are not here, you're traveling, it's understandable. But as long as majority of the people are coming, majority of the Sundays, we will continue it and we'll try it this year. And the first chapter is anyway easy. It's more, you know, just the story and the battle scene. But the first chapter is important because it tells us Arjuna's mind frame, why he got confused and what was the... So the first chapter is also useful, but it doesn't need that much discussion. So we'll do it quickly through the summer, and then probably by August we'll start the second chapter. So every Sunday, starting the first Sunday in June, we'll meet here from 11 to 12:30. We'll do the full 12:30. Then we will just end here. We don't have to go to the hall to do any puja and all. So it will be, the class will continue. And if you can make it as many times, you're most welcome. And hopefully if we have a decent turnout, even 15, 20 people, we'll continue it. Yes.
Good question. As far as I am more than willing to come, but I have 5-year-old Rani, and what do you suggest? We'll have to drop the kids somewhere?
Yeah, because there will be nobody here. There won't be any Bal Vihar. There won't be any other Bal Vihar. It will be only the adult class. So yeah, you'll have to make some arrangements. No, next week is the graduation. Okay. Next week we are doing the graduation. But we'll have Vimalji here from New Mexico. He has class. Actually, he's doing Kathopanishad Thursday, Friday, Saturday this coming week. Thursday, Friday is 7 to 8:30 and on Saturday is 6 to 7:30. You must have received the email. And he's a very good teacher. And then Sunday, he will be talking to the graduates. But he will be also giving good advice for all of us. So it will be worth listening to him on Sunday, and then we'll have graduation. So, and then after that is Memorial Day. So it's a long weekend, so people will be out of town. That's why I thought we'll start first Sunday in June, and it'll be 11 to 12:30.
No,
no, no, we'll continue. We just finished the Gita. I'll finish the Gita Dhyanam in one more lecture and then start the first verse of the Bhagavad Gita. You know, so we, and now I'm planning to continue. I'm not, every year I'm not going to start from the beginning. So if we do the first chapter, then the second, and that's how we finished in about 10 years. We finished 18 chapters. So every year we were doing different chapters. So yeah, that's how. So we will continue. And next year, if there is not good response, then we'll do next year in the summer. Otherwise, we'll close in the summer. Previously, we were not doing Gita classes in the summer, but I thought this year we'll try it because the response is so good. And I'll try to prepare. If I'm out of town, then I may have a substitute, but most of the Sundays I'll be in town, I think. Okay. Hari Om. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha. Sarve Santu Niramayaha. Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu. Ma Kaschid Dukha Bhavave. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namah. Hari Om.